12. I think that's right. How you doing? Good. Okay, so the story Richard said he couldn't tell is, so I set up my computer up there every Sunday morning to display my PowerPoint for my message. So I went up there this morning to set my computer up, and there's a card sitting right in that spot that says Pastor Bauer. So I'm like, oh, that's nice. Somebody put it right where my computer sits, so I would know that, so I would get it, right? So, awesome. So I take it back to my office, and I open it up, and it says, from the board, and I'm like, oh! I pulled the tape out of my desk and started taping it up really quick and got it back to Richard, so. So, yeah, I wasn't as surprised as they expected, but thank you so much. And it is an honor and a blessing to be the, in some ways, the apostolic father of the house here. God has called me and honored me and blessed me to be your shepherd. And I'm glad to do that. Amen. So. We continue this morning with our series, Father's Day. Oh, and before I go any further, Vladimir, you and I are doing lunch tomorrow, but Vladimir's been with us for a few weeks, and Vladimir Prus, okay, say that right, and we got some ringing going on in my microphone here. He is moving back home where his parents live in Winnipeg, right? And so this is his last Sunday with us. And maybe not many of you have had a chance to get to know Vladimir, but as we prepare to send him back, I just want to pray with you, man. Is that okay? Want to come out? And all right. God, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for the desire that you have stirred up recently afresh in his life to live for you, to follow you, to be, to have his life, Lord, marked by you in every way. Father, I pray your blessing on him as he heads back home. I pray that you would make him a blessing to his family, make him a blessing to the city where he's going to live. God, I pray that you would just pour out upon him. God, your word says that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will be filled. And I believe there's a new hunger stirring up in this young man. And God, I pray that you would fill that hunger with your presence and power, that you would, Lord, launch him into a new sense of destiny and calling in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, man. So as we celebrate Father's Day today, we're continuing our series on the family. And our first message in this series a few weeks ago was on authentic relationships. And then last week, we talked about growing marriages. And both of those messages can be found on our website. You can watch the video online, or you can subscribe to our podcast, and you can take our messages on your phone, your smartphone, or device wherever you go. We've had a lot of people share how they appreciate our live stream and being able to catch up with our messages online. And so we encourage you to connect with that. But today's message in our series is, sorry, I'm not playing with my phone. I'm just trying to connect to my PowerPoint. Aha, good. Today's message in our series is a parenting message on Father's Day. And parenting is a high calling. We often talk about raising our children. I remember my father talking about one time about his childhood, which was particularly horrendous. And he used to say that he wasn't raised up, he was dragged up. But even the phrase raising children makes me a little uncomfortable, because we raise chickens. And we raise chinchillas. And it kind of leaves us with the idea that as long as we leave our kids with enough water and food and keep their pen clean, that they're going to turn out okay. But parenting is a higher calling than that, isn't it? It is, there's a significant responsibility to launch our kids, to shape. As we parent, we are shaping the destinies of those who will shape other people's destinies. That's pretty important, isn't it? We're shaping the destinies of people who will shape others' destinies. When we had 3 kids under 5, we thought that stage of parenting was probably the hardest stage of parenting. Man, were we wrong. Because since we had 3 kids under 5, that means a few years later we had 3 teenagers. And, teenagers don't need their diapers changed anymore, but they need some serious messes cleaned up sometimes. And it's a lifelong journey, pouring into the lives of those that God has entrusted to us. One of the most common scriptures that we turn to when it comes to parenting is found in Proverbs 22, verse 6. But sometimes we take this scripture and we read it out of context and we apply it maybe in the wrong way. And it leaves people with some confusion and guilt sometimes. And I want to springboard off of this passage, first of all, this morning. Start children off on the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. Sounds great. But some people have taken this as a promise from God that as long as you read scripture verses to your kids, you are guaranteed that they will never walk away from Jesus. And so what the scripture doesn't mean necessarily is it's not a blanket promise from God that your kids are guaranteed to serve Him. Sometimes people, claim this as a promise, and then they've been shocked and disappointed when their children maybe choose to turn and walk away from the Lord. They question God and ask why He didn't fulfill His promise. But to read this as a blanket promise is to misunderstand the meaning of this verse. It's not really in the language of a promise. It's describing the natural what it's an observation. It's a describing an observation of what generally happens in a life. Also, what this verse does not mean is that you are ultimately responsible for whether your children serve God or not. And although we're responsible to set the atmosphere of our home, we're responsible to pour into their lives, we're responsible to teach them about Jesus, but the reality is our kids have to choose Jesus themselves. They have to make that choice. And we trust the Lord that they will make the right choice. And if they make some wonky choices, that he'll bring them back. And we pray into that, and we believe for that. But this verse is not a guarantee. What this verse does mean, I think, is, first of all, we have a calling as parents to apprentice our children. The verse says to train up a child in the way they should go. To train up a child in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way they should go. We have a calling and a responsibility to apprentice or train up our children on their path. And yes, that means to train them in the knowledge of God, to pour into their lives the wisdom and understanding of who God is, to teach and equip them for life with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus, to equip them with it for life, with the wisdom that comes from God's word. But I think it also means train up a child in the way they should go. Every child that comes into this world, God has a purpose and a destiny for their lives. The challenge is that many, many kids in this world never find the purpose, the God dream, the purpose that God has declared over their lives. And so part of our job as parents is to help our kids discover the God dream that is over their lives, to discover the purpose that God put them on the planet, to discover the destiny that he has put in their lives, to discover a vision for their own lives. And once, I think I said this recently, but I'm going to say it again. Next to the day that you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the two most important days of your life are the day that you were born and the day that you find out why. The day that you were born and the day that you find out why. And if we can help our kids find out why they were born and pour into that destiny that is in their lives, pour into that God purpose that is in their lives, then they will want to follow God's purpose for their lives. We don't have to remind them. We don't have to correct them. We don't have to redirect them. They're gonna pursue the purpose of God on their own once they grab a hold of that, and it grabs a hold of them. Amen. And so I believe this verse means that we are to apprentice our children on their path, their calling, their purpose. And then once they are older, they're not going to want to depart from the purpose they were put on the planet. Secondly, I think what this verse also means is that as long as our kids are alive, God is not done with them. And many of us in this room have to hold on to that reality that God is not done with our kids. Their story is not done being told. And that God wants your children to love him and live for him even more than you do. And so let that impact our prayer for them. Amen? So I come to you today certainly not as a perfect dad. I feel like So being a father is one of the things in my life I have the most experience in, and yet I feel like I'm still figuring out what I'm doing. Any dads relate to me? Right? In fact, in some ways, I have more experience being a dad than I do being a husband, not because my kids were born before we were married, but because I got three kids and one wife. So, yeah. So I've got a fair bit of experience being a dad, and yet I still feel like I'm figuring out what I'm doing. So, dads, I'm not coming to you today like somebody who's got it figured out, like somebody who, you know, like I'm talking down to you. I'm a coach in your corner. I'm figuring it out too, but I think there are some things that I've learned and some principles of Scripture that can help us be awesome dads pouring into the lives of our children. And one of those is the power of blessing. Fathers, your words, or lack of them, are very significant in the lives of your children. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." And with our words, we can strengthen and build up and pour into our children, or we can tear them to shreds. Our tongue has the power of life and death. And I don't know why God made us humans this way, but there is something in us that craves and needs the words of blessing from our dads. I don't know why, but it is a scriptural principle, and it is a real life. I've pastored so many people who live their lives under the shadow of their father's words or lack of words. And I think everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. And so it's so vital what we say, how we use our words. With our words, we can set our children up for success. Or with our words, our children can be haunted and imprisoned by things that we've spoken over them for the rest of their days. The Bible shows us many examples of fathers blessing their children. This was part of Jewish culture from before Jewish culture was even a thing. I mean, God called Abraham the father of the entire Jewish race, right? He's the daddy of them all. God called Abraham with a blessing. And from that point forward, what God poured into Abraham's heart when God called Abraham, that was passed on from father to son, from father to son, father to daughter, over thousands of years. To this day, Jewish dads gather their families on Shabbat, on Sabbath, and speak a blessing over them. Why do we care if it's part of Jewish culture? Because I believe it's also part of heaven's culture. Started from God. God blessed Abraham. And there's something powerful about blessing our kids with our words. Our kids need to know that we believe in them. They need to know that we love them no matter what. They need to know when we are proud of them. And God, our Heavenly Father, even modeled this in the life of Jesus when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River. Right? The Bible tells us that in that moment, the heavens opened And the Holy Spirit came down in the form like a dove and landed on Jesus. And everyone heard a voice from heaven. It was our Heavenly Father speaking over his Son, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He was laying claim to his Son and speaking words of pride and blessing over him. Notice that God did that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. This was Jesus was being baptized before he ever taught a word, before he ever did a miracle. Jesus was baptized. And what that tells us is that our Heavenly Father spoke words of blessing over his Son before